And welcome to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Ed Lafferty returns, Public Affairs Specialist for the Social Security Administration. And Ed, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. Always good to see you.
I think you were one of my last guests before the pandemic, and here you are. We're still in a pandemic. So let's get started with, how are you? How is the Social Security Administration handling the pandemic?
That is a great question. We really want to get the message out. That is, Social Security wants to make sure that everyone knows, while we are closed to in-service or walk-in traffic, obviously, we're still available in terms of you can give us a call. You can call. Some cases in dire need, we will have someone come in by appointment. Let me preface this with the reason for actually closing the walk-in traffic is, and you can already guess, we have some of the most vulnerable of the population in terms of the pandemic, because you brought this up. Obviously, people who are older, but also people who are disabled or applying for disability or caregivers for the disabled. So it's an incredibly vulnerable population, that alone, plus not to put employees at risk. So the decision was made to actually stop walk-in traffic. And that's why all of the offices are, quote, closed, but they're not really closed. Everyone's still working. In most cases, working from home, telework. And that's why, thank you for having me on, so we can get the message out. We are available. You can contact us by phone. We really do request people to try to do it online. As I've mentioned to you many, many times, you heard this, I know, create a My Social Security account, please do. But again, it allows you to do so much in terms of looking at your Social Security statement, getting a replacement card, applying for benefits, for retirement, disability, Medicare. If you're already on Social Security, you can actually change your direct deposit, your address, get a Medicare replacement card. All of those are very useful. But the reality is, we know a lot of people rely on Social Security as far as talking to someone there, not merely using our online services. And not everything can be done online. So we do want people to know we are available, gladly assist you. You can use, and I want to mention, our office locator, and I'll say it, ssa.gov/locator, L-O-C-A-T-O-R, and go there, put in your zip code, and it will give you the actual office number, your local Social Security office. So you can call them. They are available to answer any of your questions. If there is dire need, it's very limited, very critical issues, but issues where somebody needs to actually be interviewed in person, you have to make an appointment. Don't just walk in. You can't just knock on the door. Well, you can. The guard will wave to you. You will wave to the guard, but they're not going to let you in. There's a protocol to go through. It's an appointment system. But again, you can do all of this by phone. So really want to get that message out. And particularly, and I'm going on, but I do want to mention, there are so many, quote, vulnerable populations, unquote, out there, whom people work with, homeless, people with limited English proficiency, people with mental health issues, aged, other disabilities, who might think we are closed. Because you see this again and again, Social Security offices are, quote, closed, unquote. And you have to read to the next paragraph to recognize, no, they're not really closed to the public as far as answering questions being available. They're merely closed to walk-in traffic. I don't want to minimize merely by saying walk-in traffic, but there's a good reason due to the pandemic why we can't just have everyone walk in at one time.
You've alluded to disability, Medicare, et cetera, et cetera. What programs does the Social Security Administration administer?
Social Security handles the retirement and survivor's insurance. You've seen that. Somebody applies for retirement benefits. Someone dies, the worker. And so there are family benefits, widows, widowers, surviving divorced spouses, surviving children, filing for disability. Disability, for Social Security's purposes, you've heard it called SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSD, or just disability. It's all the same. You've actually worked, you have a work history, you paid into Social Security, and that's where it's similar to an insurance plan. Again, Social Security Disability Insurance. And there's also, now all of those come out of your Social Security taxes, those programs. Social Security also handles people applying for Medicare. We're the point of contact. Now, we don't run Medicare. In other words, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, another separate federal agency, handles all those meaningful Medicare questions. What's a durable medical good? What do you pay a provider? But we're the point of contact. You apply through Social Security. And then we also administer the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI. That's a needs-based program, limited resources, limited income. That does not come out of your Social Security taxes. That's out of general revenue. I don't want to minimize that. As taxpayers, you still pay for it, but it isn't out of Social Security. But we administer that program as well.
Many of these are things that one has to apply for. You have to apply for your benefits. You have to apply for Medicare. And I know that there are deadlines for all of those. Has anything been extended because of the pandemic?
Well, there are certain things that have been delayed. For example, let me use the Medicare, applying for Medicare Part B. There was an extension for that for people who are under what's called a special enrollment program. Those are the period. The special enrollment period is for people who you're eligible for Medicare, say you're 65 or older, 66, 67, keep going up the line, and you're still working. You're under your employer group health plan. So you don't want to file for Medicare Part B. You can wait. Now, because of the pandemic, you may have lost your health coverage. You want to apply for Medicare Part B. In the past, you had to come into the office to actually provide the information or mail it in to us. To make it easier, because so many people suddenly had to apply for it, in terms of mailing out, getting it to people who are teleworking, the claim specialists, technical experts, Social Security also created a fax number that nationally you could send it into, or there's an actual Medicare application for it. So you have several choices in doing that. In addition, Social Security delayed doing things for SSI, are called redeterminations or certain disability reviews, things that overpayments, a range of things where we had to talk to the person perhaps, or needed to see them or needed more information. Many of these have been delayed or we're waiting on them. So it's a work in progress. I'd suggest to everybody, so that you can be updated because of the coronavirus, and almost everyone has a page like this. Social Security has a coronavirus page. If you go on our main homepage, ssa.gov, or socialsecurity.gov, almost everyone says ssa.gov, and you'll see at the very top about coronavirus updates, and it gives you a range of issues, resources, and so forth, and lets you know exactly what Social Security does, going all the way back to the beginning when we had to actually close the office to walk-in travel.
What about administrative work? Somebody who has an appeal, maybe they were denied a benefit. Are you still working that way? And how are you handling cases like that?
Well, on the ones with, in many cases, they've used more often, Zoom is available. Using social media has really helped. In some cases, if we needed to see, once again, this comes back to dire need. If we needed to actually talk to the person individually, there are ways now in terms of taking appeals and talking to someone on Zoom. The one minus with us, the one issue is, notice I'm on you. You are the host for Zoom. At this time, because of our firewall, we cannot do Zoom other than under certain conditions. So, for example, the local office is not doing that. But for appeals and other things where administrative law judges can do it, they can do video conferencing and so forth. So they have a long history of making adjustments to this, because not everyone can get in. And depending on the backload of work, if someone else is doing it. So there are video conferencing. There is video conferencing done. But basically, what we're trying to do is make sure that all of the people who can do it online, do it online, so that the people who can't can contact us, and then we can deal with them individually.
And so you're still rolling along and process, and claims are being processed, and the work is getting done, albeit just in a unique way.
Exactly. It is different. Now, doing it, anyone who's doing telework from home, it is a little bit of a different dynamic. And some things that ordinarily we could have finished quickly, for example, because the office is being closed, management does go in. People go in to look at mail. But if we actually have mail, it becomes a little bit more difficult. We have to take it, scan it in, fax it to some, that sort of thing. So you get these bits of delays, or someone calls, and on my work cell, I have 12 messages. So I have to work through them. It's not the case, whereas before, being in the office, you had schedules set up, as you do still, telework, but it takes a little bit more of a configuration of your own time, your own dynamic. But that's with everyone. Everyone has had to make adjustments in terms of how do they handle the work. The really important one is Social Security is still available. Everyone's still working, albeit many, most teleworking, but almost everything can still be done if it has to be done. We can still do that.
Zoom is an interesting way to do things. I have to say that. And we are doing this show today in the tropical storm. And it does sound like demons are speaking with us at times when the rain comes in. You've done some other adaptations over the years, like the portals and everything. We're now able to, we can actually interface with Social Security through mobile devices and other ways too.
Yes, you make a great point. Social Security recently changed, and let me take two steps back when I say change. Our website has gone through many, many iterations because the response is to the person who sees it. And millions of people view the website. And originally, it was quite crowded. And as time has gone on, they've tried to simplify it and make it easier, more accessible. And particularly in a world where tablets and mobile phones are really the important point for so many people who do their work. So, for example, recently on our retirement page, Social Security has cleaned that, made it simpler, more straightforward, and more adaptable to mobile phones rather than just, well, I'm sitting in front of a large monitor. I don't walk around with this monitor, I can tell you now. So I do much of my work on the phone. And so Social Security, it's a work in progress, is still making these adjustments, changes. And a lot of it has to do with the feedback so that when people see it, they let us know. You probably already know that, well, I know you know this, that Social Security has a Facebook page, a Twitter page. I mean, they have an extended social media page, YouTube. And so, for example, on Facebook, we get comments from people on things. We answer them. You can't answer personal questions, obviously, on my application or my appeal. But generally, questions that people have difficulties, I can't find this, where is it, glad to help. We have chat functions and so forth. So the decision on Social Security, like corporations everywhere, companies, agencies, radio stations, having to make decisions and be more flexible because the real key is the person who's watching or listening, or in the case, I'm your tax money at work. I'm here to inform the public. How do I do that? What's the best way? What's the most efficient way? What gets the message out?
We're close to the halfway mark. This is our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Public Affairs Specialist for the Social Security Administration, Ed Lafferty. If you'd like more information about Social Security, ssa.gov. That's ssa.gov. And when you are there, one, you will find information in a plethora of languages. You will find information about offices and how you can get in touch with your local, and that is through Locator. Just type in Locator, or just go direct to ssa.gov/locator, and you'll find the number that is closest to you to get information. Does that actually matter? Because if you live in Ogden, Utah, and you reach somebody in Florida, it doesn't change, does it? I mean, it's the same across the country.
Oh, yes. I mean, definitely. The answers should be the same. The questions, it's a national program. I mean, taking two steps back, all of those individuals you're paying in the Social Security program, you support this entire administrative function. Not only am I your tax money at work, your Social Security web pages, I mean, we have many. All of that is you're paying for that. And so, yes, the answers should be the same. The reason for highlighting the local office, though, is that, well, one, it may be an issue that's specific to the office. I mailed in such and such, and I haven't heard. Well, calling Ogden is not going to help you if you're in Miami, that sort of thing. And the other point is the reason we want to get local is also because if someone does have to come in, the management there at that office can go through what is the protocol and what's the best way. Because offices are configured differently. Some are in high-rise buildings, skyscrapers, 20 stories up. Others are in a mall, someone off by themselves. So we have to really localize it if we can. But yes, if you call, and you might call an office, and because of the workload for that specific office, they have transferred some of the work, some of the easier things to do for the office, to another office. And so you wonder, why are they answering back from Florida? Yes, usually it won't be Ogden to Miami. But the point is, yes, you could have that in those specific instances where they're assisted. But the phone number for the local office is really the best way to get there. And I do want to say thank you for highlighting that it's .gov, that so often, and if you go on any other search engines, you'll see socialsecurity.com, .net, .org. It's .gov. That's the one to go to. We want to make sure you get to the right place. And that's socialsecurityadministration.gov.
Hold that thought, because I'm going to ask about that. But hearkening back to my question, though, so this is an entitlement that you have earned through your payments, through your work history, and where you live, a state does not affect benefits, your Medicare benefits, et cetera.
You are exactly correct. Because they're national programs, so you've paid into a retirement survivor's insurance fund. That so-called trust fund, I say so-called in the sense of that's how it's described as a trust fund. It's not a lockbox, obviously, so that you can just trade it off. But in terms of you paid into it across your work history, for example, for retirement, anyone who is a retirement age needs to have a minimum of 10 years of work to be insured on their own. Now, and insured merely means there's a certain dollar figure you've earned in a calendar year. But you need 35 years to, that's what we use of your work history, 35 years everywhere in, if you're using it here in the United States, whether it's in Hawaii or Maine or Florida, all of those go in. That's the record we keep. And so if you apply for retirement benefits in Miami rather than in Hawaii, I know that either one of those sounds very good at this moment. But if you apply for benefits, the benefit will be the same. And that's why that Social Security statement I've highlighted is so important. It's the one that gives a list of all your earnings, tells you how much you get when you retire at certain ages, if you die, what your survivors receive, if you become disabled, what you would receive in your family benefit. But you really want to look at those numbers, because the highlight, and you are correct, is it's the same everywhere. But it is a national program. It's enormous. It's everyone, just about everyone, not everyone, but almost everyone, pays into Social Security. Do we have the right numbers? Because that dictates in great part how much you'll receive per month. We're using the highest 35 years of earnings. Do we have those? And so that's why I really exhort people, trying to motivate, persuade, please look at your statement. Whether you're 25, 35, 45, or 55, it's important to check to make sure we have those numbers posted correctly.
That just slides right into a My Social Security account. I actually got a paper printout recently. It was an accounting that would have appeared on My Social Security account. I wanted to bang my head on the table when I saw what I made over the course of my working career, but it was by the year, and I'm looking, going, where were my highlights? But this stuff is available on My Social Security, and you're right, you've got to start looking at it early. And you also want to start looking at it to see, well, gee, are there numbers there that don't belong? Is my Social Security number compromised in some way? And that's a good way to see it. Now, let's go back to what I said. Hold that thought earlier. Fraud, especially right now when people are isolated from their family members. We always hear of cases of where somebody has been collecting somebody else's checks. Protecting yourself and your income as you age is very important. And something else has been happening, and it involves my little mobile phone. I'm getting those calls again. My Social Security number has been used in a criminal activity in Texas, and my funds are being frozen. I'd better, you know, stay on the line to speak with somebody who is obviously in a very large room and speaking from another country.
You make such a good point.
There were several in there. there.
The last one, yes, that is true. You make several good points. I didn't mean to minimize your points. I really didn't.
We'll go just back.
But the first
Let's review.
One.
Review, yeah. Go through one
review
by one.
All of those
yes.
points.
Yes.
Number one, yes, that kind of activity is starting up again. We just repeat again and again and again. No Social Security employee is going to call you and say that your number has been compromised. You're guilty of some sort of criminal activity. I'm Sergeant so-and-so, or I'm this or that, or I work for Social Security, or they get a name that they, Edward Lafferty is contacting you. We are not. Let me repeat in case I didn't mention it. We are not going to call you and threaten you, nor will we say you can pay a fine and ask for your credit card or gift card or anything like this. These are terrible things and they frighten people so much. And you know as well as I do, there are many people, let's assume, for example, you apply for retirement benefits and 10 years down the road, you haven't contacted Social Security under any conditions. You live in your own home, you're happy with the bank that you've been banking with for 10 years. Everything is very straightforward and you get this call and it is terrifying for someone. But the fact is, we don't do that. And in fact, do not answer, do not engage them. But what you can do, and this goes back to going to socialsecurity.gov, there is, and in fact, it's very on the very first page, what if I get a call like this? You can actually file a report with the Social Security's Office of the Inspector General. There's also a phone number online. We can give that to you. But really, think about filing a report. And it is a little cumbersome for people to do this. You just want to get rid of this. But it's how we know how many of these are taking place. There are tens of thousands, hundreds of that, for all we know, of people calling. And our fear is someone does send money. Someone gives them their credit card. And it is just a really, really terrible situation. And so the real key is you get a call like that, you can call Social Security. You now have the Social Security local office phone number, don't you? By going online, use the locator, call. And did you guys call me and you got an answer? No, we did not. No one's going to call and threaten you like that. If we have issues to deal with, typically they will send you a paper notice. And if you do get a call, ordinarily it's because you called us. We don't threaten you. We don't guarantee that we're going to come for you. I've heard these. They're incredibly awful. I mean, they're just awful. There's nothing else to say. But ignore them. But give us a report. Tell us what's going on. And if you need to call, but the report actually goes in so that they have a better idea of where it's happening, who's doing it, can they trace these back, all of these questions. So I'm glad you brought it up. Office of the Inspector General. But actually, if you just go on SSA.gov, what if I get a phone call threatening me or saying my card has been compromised? Just call us. No, you now have our own office number. It shouldn't be that difficult. And you can tell us.
What about now protecting my benefits as I age, or if I suddenly am incapacitated?
That is such a good question, because one of the issues, unfortunately, because of the population we deal with and because all of us get older or we suffer from a disability, we may become less capable of managing our own benefits. We are not able to do it. It doesn't mean we're legally incompetent, but it just means that in terms of your day-to-day ability to handle your funds, you're limited. You may be incapable of doing it. And so Social Security has what's called a representative payee program, which someone applies to be your payee. Monies come to them for you. What Social Security has changed, and this is through the law just recently, an advanced designation of a representative payee, meaning you're on Social Security, you're not incapable of managing your benefits, but you worry that perhaps down the road there could be an issue. It's something in the back of your mind. You want to be careful, or you want to have someone who's there as a backup to handle your funds. You can actually designate up to three people whom you would suggest to be representative payees for you in case you can't handle your own funds. Well, the reality is Social Security still has to make the decision to pay. The advance designation is not power of attorney. It's not a contract. You can change it at any time. You can withdraw it. Every year, in fact, Social Security will send you a little notice nudging you saying, by the way, you gave us three names or two or one. Is this still correct? But the idea is to give a bit of peace of mind that for many of us worrying about who will handle my monies down the road. And you're not always sure. Now, in many cases, we have people around us, family members and so forth. We trust them to do it. We know. This is a case where you can actually identify the individuals. And again, Social Security will still make the payee decision because we will have to vet the person, in effect, that individual. But you actually can make that designation and know that, yes, this is the individual or these are the individuals who I would want to handle my money in the event that I'm incapable. Again, it's not power of attorney being signed over. Representative, you always need, even if you have power of attorney, you'll always need a pay application, a representative pay application with Social Security. So we, Social Security, are still making the decision, is this a proper payee? There may be other issues. But at least it gives a person some sense of control, a little sense of who will handle the monies for me, rather than waiting until that moment when you're not really able to do it. It's not a pleasant prospect, but it is a realistic one considering the number of people who truly do need or do have a representative payee for their Social Security and their SSI.
Do you know we're coming to the end? I'm giving you the 2-minute warning. What parting words?
Please tell everyone you can. We're still available. Call us. You can find it on, once again, ssa.gov/locator. And please, please do not, if you get a call claiming that your Social Security has been compromised or criminal activity somehow is involved with you, contact a Social Security, contact the Austin Inspector General. Do not send money. Do not engage the individuals who are calling because, yes, they are unfortunately back again doing something just as awful as before. I won't minimize how terrifying it can be for someone to hear that on the phone, that disembodied voice that says, your Social Security number has been compromised. As I say, you have our phone number now. You can contact the local office.
When we go to your website, what do we actually find there? I know that there is current information about the pandemic and any changes or anything that's being done to address that situation. But would we find simple explanations of everything? Because let's face it, this is the most terrifying, process there is.
In fact, it's all there online. I really suggest to people explore it. I always find it amazing the number of people who haven't gone on the Social Security website who are asking questions about retirement or survivors or disability. Most of us are quite willing to use any of the search engines and hunt some of the most unusual, forgettable, and difficult to find areas, websites in the universe. Social Security is there. It is your website. You paid for it. Please look, explore. It should answer and will answer, quite frankly, almost every single question you'd have. As I say, not everyone can use all of our online services, but we're more than just the online services. It's a range of information that's available for people. Please go. Please use it. You paid for it. It's yours.
And of course, that website is ssa.gov. That's for government. ssa.gov is the website to go to. Follow them on social media. You'll find out information and probably get a laugh at what somebody else has come up with to ask. Or just, again, go to their website, ssa.gov. You can then type in locator. You will find the office that is the closest to you. ssa.gov is the place to always start when you have a question about your Social Security Administration. And Public Affairs Specialist Ed Lafferty, our guest today. Ed, thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's always fun to have you on. Look forward to our next chat, and may it be in person.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yes. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.